Amen. Well, you know, Bill gave that quick little recap of the placebo, you know, what a placebo was, what the placebo effect was, which is just an amazing thing when you think about it, you know. And then there's the no placebo, where people actually got side effects from the placebo because they were told what the side effects would be. So, you know, even though they were taking a sugar pill, they were told the side effects for this drug could be X, Y, and Z. And even though it was a sugar pill, they still displayed some of those side effects that they should never have gotten because it was just a placebo. But it really just goes to show how powerful our brains are when what we listen to and what we hear. So, what we believe has tremendous power. What we believe has tremendous power. And that's just over the physical. And there's so much more than just the physical, because we are spiritual beings. We were made spiritual. We were made with a spiritual aspect to our lives. When we were formed and here we are just standing there, Adam and Eve, just Adam, standing there in the garden, formed out of clay, lifeless. But then the Spirit of God came in him, and he became a living soul. And that's what happened. He was made out of the dust. The Spirit of God came in him, and he became a living soul. So we have the Spirit of God living in us, and that is so powerful. We need to understand that what we hear and what we believe has power, has authority, but it has only the authority that we give it. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But let's look at that. So then faith comes by hearing. Faith in God is different than faith in medicine. Faith in God is different than faith in man. Faith in something great, a God who is all-powerful, is different than faith in your boss who could only fire you, or faith in an aspirin that could take away your headache. So faith can stand unto itself. It is a word that is not tied particularly to God. It's what we put our faith, our hope, our trust, our belief into. We put power into that word faith. But we want to hear the word of God. What is the word of God saying about us? What is it saying to us? Well, we can... What we believe is what we can expect to manifest. See, because when we hear things, we choose to believe or not believe, ultimately. You know, this car's on sale. Well, is that car on sale? We make the choice. We make the determination on the quality of the media by which it came to us. So we then choose, do we believe or don't we believe, and we make that decision. So how we come about that decision-making process is important. What do we use to come to that decision? Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So our hearts can become full. Our hearts are a container, and it can be filled. And when we became born again, when we began to put our trust in the Lord, the Lord gave us a new heart, the ability to store new things, a new life. But a good man brings good things out of the good that he stores in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And it's not hard to see what a heart is full of after you've spent time with somebody. You go camping with a new group of guys, and you just may not want to be with those guys because those guys are, you know, they're of a different mindset of you. They laugh at different jokes. They talk about different things that just, you can see a piece of their character, a piece of their heart, and you may not want to be a part of that. Maybe, you know, you want to live a good life, a pure life. You know, the Bible says no coarse jesting, right? Now, I'm not saying that to put any condemnation on anybody if, you know, geez, oh my gosh, I heard somebody do that. No, I'm talking about what you deliberately spend time. Not a minute, not 2 minutes, not 5 minutes, not an hour. But are you spending hours thinking of certain things? Or you find yourself just so commonly and so effortlessly able to receive things that don't make you feel good? And that's a good thing, because that says the Holy Spirit is living within you and He's always bringing us to holiness, to pureness, to rightness. But the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, and it's not hard to spend time with somebody and say, you know what, they just have a different heart than I do. I have a heart for the lost. I want to go out and minister the gospel. Well, I have a heart to teach. I want to teach. You know, I have a heart to minister to youth. I have a heart to minister to teenagers or to adults, right? Different hearts, different paths. The Lord does that for us. And that's the body of Christ coming together. David and Goliath. We're going to read a little bit of this. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to him, had to get used to him. Okay, if you're going to go out and fight Goliath, I've got what you need, because you didn't come in here with any sword. You didn't come in here with any armor. And we know that this guy's been a warrior from his youth. We need to put some stuff on you. But he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. When he took them off, you can see David knew who he was. David knew he was comfortable with himself. David had something that he knew was going to protect him and that he did not need to fight this enemy. It was another man's armor. It was what another man felt comfortable with, but not him. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. The Philistine looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said. Old big Goliath looking at David. Now the battle was in a valley. Thank you. So David walked down into the valley. He didn't stay on top. He didn't stay where it was safe. He was confident enough to go right down. And Goliath, being a larger guy, he wasn't afraid to face this enemy. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Intimidating. Okay, you're going to do this. "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And then David responds, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled." You come against me with this, but listen to his words. Listen to what he's saying in this next phrase. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." That's got to be pretty intimidating. To hear, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. David, when he said this, "You have defiled the living God of Israel." David never said, "I am coming in my own power." He came in God's power and he let that be known. And he spoke. He took what was in his heart. He took what he knew to be him from back in his days with the shepherd. As a shepherd, he killed a bear. He killed a lion. Didn't make it sound like a struggle. Made it sound pretty easy. "Hey, your servant has killed a bear, killed a lion. I can move forward with this." So David was confident with his words, and these words spoke life. And they spoke the future. They spoke confident. They spoke action. They triggered something in the atmosphere, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm. They triggered something. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Next verse. "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Not just you, but all of you. And he spoke this. And there's some intimidation there. Goliath, yes, he was big, but these are confident words. Okay. David knew his God. He did not look at his size. He did not look at Goliath's weapons. He did not look at everything Goliath had, his shield. He didn't look at the guy that was with Goliath holding stuff for him. He looked at a man that was defiling God, and he spoke to that. He looked at somebody who was standing in the way of the promise that God had for Israel. We are Israel. God's given us promises. Sometimes there's things in our way. And sometimes the enemy comes at us. The enemy says things to us to scare us away. I mean, why wouldn't this work with David? It worked with the rest of the Israelite army. Most, if not all, were bigger than him in stature and size. They had armor. They had weapons. but not David. What made David different? David knew his God. David knew, I am going to speak into this situation, and I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to see what I'm speaking, because this is what I see. I see this happening. Goliath, you're going down, and I'm going to feed you to the carcasses. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds and the wild animals, and not just you, but your army too. You come at me with sword and spear, while I come at you in the name of Jesus, the Lord of Israel, the God. That's all David could think to do. That's where his power was. He didn't look at the stones, the sling. These are the weapons that the Lord is going to use, and how God could use something so small against something so big should be a lesson for us to know that we don't have to have everything we need to do powerful things. We don't need the shiny things. We don't need the big things. We don't need what everybody else has. We need God. God comes first. So he triggered all this. He used his words as a weapon. Now, when you think of a gun, there are certain elements to a gun. You have the gun itself, then you have the magazine. In the magazine are bullets. And then there's a trigger. Think about your bullets when you're thinking about your situation. Think about the bullets that you have when you're thinking about, what do I need to have accomplished? What do I need to hit? What are the goals? Where is this aimed? Because you've heard the phrase, ready, aim, fire. You can be ready and you can fire, but if you don't aim, you're not going to hit the target. You can be ready and you can aim, but if you don't fire, you won't hit the target. So you can have all the elements, but if you don't follow through on the elements and use them for what they're there for, nothing will happen. So the knowledge of knowing that there is a target for you to hit, and then you fire, you pull that trigger, and you put that faith into action, and you speak. And when you speak, that is what is firing those bullets. It's firing those words of faith into the atmosphere, hitting their target. So hearing, again last week we heard about the placebo, what you believe. The Bible says, as you believe, the mouth speaks. So where's the ammunition? What ammunition do you have? What are you firing? What are you speaking into existence? Because you're speaking something. If we were born without mouths, you could have all the knowledge you want. No one's going to know. The atmosphere is not going to know. When I say atmosphere, I mean the spiritual atmosphere that the angels are waiting and attending to say, I'm ready. What do I need to do? And when you say, Lord, I want to see that person healed in the name of Jesus, you can just see an angel darting down. Words of faith are powerful. We need to put them in action. No doubting. Be confident. Be sure. We have these words. We have the gift of speaking life, speaking truth. God's given us this. We need to use that, because with our words, we can create things. We can build things. Or we can break down things. We can destroy things. How many lives are destroyed by words? How many lives are built up by words? We heard a few weeks ago by Johnny. Johnny Ray was here, and he was telling about his ministry over there on the east side and how he's building up these children. And they respond. It's like he sees the light go on in their eyes, because here's these kids who may have been in a home with no father, maybe in a home with no hope, maybe in a home where things that don't occur in the Brady Bunch house. You know, but things happen. But when you see someone come by and you say, you have a lot to live for, you are a smart young man. No one's ever told me that before. Wow. And I see this person every week and they keep telling me the same thing. Johnny Ray, using his words, pulling the trigger, speaking life, changing the atmosphere for this young boy. One person comes to mind, Ben Carson. Ben Carson didn't have a great life as a boy, but he grew up to be a surgeon, a brain surgeon. Oh my goodness. Why, he had a mother who spoke faith to him, spoke life to him, and said, you can do all things. Nothing's going to stop you. You can do it. And he believed it. And he was able to speak into that with his actions, with his words. Our words have power to create. With our words, how do we use our words right now when we hear or when we see situations that we find ourselves in? Such as marriage. You ever know somebody who's like, hey, my marriage is going down the tubes. I just don't know what to do. It's just going, you know, talk to a therapist, explain the situation. They said there's no way to save it. That person's not going to change. Comes in, comes out. Someone said something, you believed it, came out. What about when you go to the doctors? What about when you go to the chiropractor? The chiropractor says, you're going to have to be going, you know, your back's pretty twisted up, or, you know, you're going to probably need to go at least once a week, you know, start you off with a three-day-a-week plan for 2 months and then 2 weeks, and then we're just going to have you on a maintenance plan because you're always going to default back to this. As people of faith in this room, I would seriously believe that each one of us has heard stories of people who have grown limbs back. Limbs. Legs lengthened. Arms. Organs. Eyes. Is there a doctor in this world that can do that for you? No. So don't believe the report of the enemy when the enemy says, you're always going to be sick, you're always going to be down there, you're nothing but a small little guy. You can't. I've been a warrior, and look at all this stuff. Look at these degrees, look at the pedigrees, look at the colleges I went to. You're not going to. I'm an expert. You're my client. You're here for a reason, because I'm the expert. Well, what are you speaking? Are you speaking life to those areas? Are you creating with your words the new pathways? Are you speaking what God wants to speak? Because God has amazing, amazing power that works through you and through your words. Faith comes by hearing. Speak it. You need a new job. You need a new XYZ, you name it. Speak it. I know several people who always have car problems. And I always hear them say the same thing. I can never get a good car. Every car I have is a bad car. This car is a piece of junk. This car breaks down. I get flat tires. Well, yeah. What are you saying? You're speaking that into the atmosphere. Now, I do have some friends who occasionally will hear me say, "You're a good car." I'll tap my dashboard. So, "You're a good car. You don't break down on me. You know, you get me to where I need to go." You know, power of words. I'll take it. I'm bringing positive God energy into my situation in all things. All things. Yeah, you might have to go to the chiropractor for a year. Yeah, you might have been in an accident. Yeah, you might have to do something. You might have to take medication for something. But when you hear from God, and you say, "You know what? God, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm not going to go to this chiropractor anymore because I believe that I'm good. I believe that I am healed. I am strong. I am rebuilt. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to get a new job. I know I'm worth $25 an hour. That's what I'm worth. I'm going to get a job for $25. God, bring that job to me because I know that this is what I'm worth." You're speaking life. You're speaking power. So what you're doing is you're loading up that, you're loading up with your trigger words. I can do this. I will do this. God's word never returns void. Never. Ever. God's word never falls to the ground. Ever. Ever. And it is sent, and it will not return to him until it accomplishes the reason for which it was sent. Oftentimes, the word is sent, and we don't hold on to it long enough. We're not praying that into the soil, into to get this growth that we need for his word to come forth and spring forth. When we get a word, you get something from God, a dream. Speak life into that word. Don't forget that word. Don't give up after a month. Don't give up. George Soros didn't become a billionaire until he was an older man, and it was primarily because of one choice that he made. But he always, always knew. He said, "I always knew I was going to be a billionaire. I just couldn't get there. But I always knew it, and I kept looking." And then when the right stock options came available, he made a huge investment, and it paid off. That's where he made most of his money, is in the stock market. But he never gave up. He was always in the running. He never let that seed fall to the ground and let a bird come by, swoop up, and pick it up. When Moses got his word, he had to flee, and he was out of the picture. So long, he ended up just herding sheep, tending the sheep, till God called him again. But he never forgot the word. Yeah, he put a little bit of limitation on himself, which God wasn't too happy about that, because God knew what he wanted to do through Moses. But when that was kindled, you couldn't stop that guy. You couldn't stop Saul of Tarsus when he became Paul. When God said, I'm going to do a lot through you, he allowed that to happen. The power, there's a... You know, there can be a stigma on this phrase, but it's true. There is power in positive thinking. There's power in positive thinking with God and God's word and a promise he gave you. You are not going to always be in the situation that you're looking to God for now if you got a word from him. And if you got a word from him, you hold on to that word. Don't give up after a month. After 2 months, after a year, God's promises never fail. They don't fall to the ground. Use the positive trigger words. I can. I will. God, you said you're going to do this. I believe that. God is always encouraging us. God is always building up. He's always pushing us forward into a greater faith. Let's not lose it. Let's not drop it. Let's keep using our words. Let's keep waking up every morning and say, God, what do you have for me today? Because I can tell you, the moment you get out of that bed, sometimes before you get out of that bed, other thoughts are already coming through. Find your word for the day, for the week, for the month, and go for it. Believe it, because God's got something. God's got something new for us all the time. God gives. God doesn't stop giving just because he gave you something already. He's always encouraging. Find your word. Find what you want to do. Seek God, and God is most likely going to be on board with that. Don't give up hope. Don't sustain yourself to the words of a Philistine who does not know the living God. When you hear words coming your way that are not positive, that are counteractive to what you're believing God for, you speak the word of God. I can and will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't give up. You don't give up. You hold on to that word. You don't get on the ground struggling. Well, there's just one more day. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up, because I tell you, if that's the ship you're in, I don't know if I want to be in that ship. I want to be in the boat saying, we are not giving up. We're going after this, and we're going to go after it with all our might. We have the promise. We know where we're going. We don't need to look at the size of the people. As Joshua, as Caleb brought back the big harvest of grapes, he's like, we can take this land. We can do it. The other 10 spots. The people are big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And people started listening to them. Wow, did you hear that, man? They're big. They're strong. We're just little guys. Well, you ever think of what Caleb must have been thinking for 40 years? You ever wonder if he might have grumbled and complained once or twice in those 40 years because they had to be in that desert, that they had to be in that wilderness? When in fact it was really, a couple days' journey from where they should have been. But the Lord caused them to just walk around in circles. Don't let what you see with your eyes, don't let what you hear with your ears determine what God is saying for you. You repeat after him. I can do all things. God has given me a dream. And he has not given me a dream to just let it fall. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you've given us the power of words, the power to create. Thank you that you've given us a filter for our ears, that we can hear many things. It's not what goes into the man that defiles him. It's what comes out. May we look to your words. Father, you have given us promises. And if we have forgotten those promises, renew those promises. Bring new promises, because they're not falling to the ground. What are you saying today? What are you saying tomorrow? What actions am I putting into place, Father God, to confirm that I believe your word is true? Because I want to take action on your words. Continue to light up that part of our brain that activates such a strong faith in knowing that our words will create, our words will bring us closer to you and closer to the dreams that you've given us, Father God. Remind us, we don't want to let those dreams fall to the ground, not when you've given us a promise. We thank you, Father, for being so faithful to us. You are a faithful God, and your thoughts towards us are always good. They're always loving. They're always advancing us. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go out encouraged. Look for your words. Because he's got them for you. He's got the dreams. He's got the promises. And if you're in his will right now, moving towards it, you cannot fail.